Luke chapter 19, and we'll confine our comments to verse 10. We're going to look at the subject of lost today. Being lost, spiritually lost. This evening, we will continue that with a completely different sermon. Just so you know, we do not repeat sermons or services here. Maybe your background is some church where you could go on Sunday, Saturday night, or Sunday early, or Sunday later, and basically it's just a repeat. That is not the way it is here. Completely different, distinct service tonight. Different songs, different everything, but the same people. So join us tonight if you'd like, 6 p.m. I read the text today. And we see here the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to this earth, and he's actually walking around on this earth. He went to this town called Jericho, and he meets this man named Zacchaeus. What a name. It's not Zachary, like our Zach sitting right down front here. It's Zacchaeus, but maybe he was called Zach too, I don't know. But this Zacchaeus was a man that had a full wallet, but an empty heart. That's how everyone is when they arrive on this planet. Empty heart. When Jesus talks in verse 10 about the Son of Man coming to seek and save that which was lost, God was taking something, as Jesus did all the time. God was taking something, Jesus was taking something, scriptures take something, with which we are very, very familiar, in order to teach us about something we know nothing about. It will help us as God's children if we recognize that people around us that do not know Jesus as their Savior have not yet come to the place of recognizing their situation and the need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. It will help us a lot if we recognize they are lost. What does that mean? We'll come back to that in a moment. Zacchaeus had a whole lot, but he did not have God. And when he met Jesus, everything changed, including his money. We read here how he became very generous with the poor. He became so generous that he told Jesus, "I'm going to take half of everything I've got and give it away to the poor." Where he had been a man who was accumulating all and keeping all and getting all and coveting and lusting and even doing it deceitfully to get for himself bigger barns, bigger mansions, bigger cars. Well, no, they didn't have cars. But you know what I'm getting at, right? Or that changed. And now he's taking half of it and giving it to the poor. And not only that. He said, "If I have taken anything from someone by false accusation, I'm going to return that to them and give them four times as much as I took." Why? Because God saved him. That was the difference. Up until that point, he was lost. Now he is saved. Jesus commented on it. Verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house." The evidence was what Zacchaeus had said. It was his words. That may not be like it is with everyone, but with Zacchaeus, he was a man that the Bible describes as being powerful. He was chief of the publicans, and he was very wealthy. He was rich. And it's at that very point where God took his wealth, the essence of his life, what he lived for, what he worked for, what he valued, what meant so much to him. That's the point where God touched his life. And wow, did it ever take. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's think about it. What does it mean to be lost? Have you ever been lost? When we think about children, children get lost sometimes. I think about, you know, sometimes you'll be in a store, maybe a Walmart or some large store, maybe a mall, department store, something like this. Some big place, and an announcement will come across. "Mrs. Janice McAvoy, we have your son at customer service," or a daughter, whatever. You've heard those kind of announcements. Why? Because some way or another, the child got lost. And someone found the child somehow or another. Didn't know where mom was. He didn't know what mom where mom was. And somehow they tried to be the good Samaritan, so to speak, and help out and get the child to the customer service. The child wouldn't know where to go. And mom is probably crying at this point too. Think about how you feel when you're lost. Years ago, when my wife was going to turn 60, it was not long ago, but nonetheless, we decided we want to do something really special. Let's kind of take the 6-0 thing, and instead of being intimidated or embarrassed or ashamed or afraid or collapsed to, I'm getting so old, you know, or all those wonderful things that happen to us the older we get, we came up with a plan. The plan was, let's backpack to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and back out. And let's come back out on the very day of her 60th birthday. Kind of like God helping us take that Grand Canyon, take that 6-0. And as I began to pursue that as a possibility, I began to read about lots of people who die trying to do such a thing. We were in very good shape at that point, running lots, marathons, all that. But here's the thing, and I started working on this better than a year in advance. I began to realize you need to have a backpack. You need to have a tent. You need to carry food. You need to have water. I began to find out how it is that so many people die doing that. And the primary reason is because they don't have enough water. And they don't know where to find it. You can get it in the Grand Canyon. It's not at 7-Eleven, but there are places where you can get Grand Canyon, and you better know where they are. What happens is, the further you go down, I mean, the climate is totally different. Deeper, you know, there's so many things. So I decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pay for a guide. We're going to pay for a guy that's got all the equipment, knows where to go, has done it before, he's going to cook, he's going to do it, and all that sort of thing. And we did it. And we hiked out on the, you know, on her 60th birthday. Why do I say that? Imagine if I was so stupid that I said, nah, no biggie. I'm tough. We're tough. We can do this. And we're trying to make our way out. And there are paths. You don't have to have a GPS. It wouldn't work anyway. You can get out. But if you get to the point where you know I'm out of water, and I don't have water, you start to get dehydrated. You're not climbing out of that thing. You got to find some way to find water. You're lost. And panic, and worry, and anxiety starts working against us. And the very brain that God gave us to help us becomes our enemy as we start meditating on, I'm going to die. Lost. You know, that child in the department store or that person walking in the Grand Canyon, they're having a blast until they realize they're lost. God takes this idea of lost to help us understand what's going on. Why are people lost? What does it mean when Jesus says to seek and to save that which was lost? What does that mean spiritually? I mean, we can grasp lost with the illustrations. We can think about maybe ourselves being lost, and we can think of the panic and the worry and the anxiety and all the turmoil. We can think of the fear about the future, what's going to happen, all those different things. We can grasp what that means to be lost physically, but why lost spiritually? It is because they are away from God. It is because there is a barrier between every person except Jesus who was ever born on this planet. There is a barrier between them and God. There is a wall between them and God. There is a great gulf fixed between them and God. They do not have God. They don't have God. They don't know God. They don't see God. They don't believe in God. They're not blessed or comforted in their hearts by God. God takes care of them, yes. That's why they're alive. God gave them life, yes. They are not lost to God as such. God knows exactly where all of us are all the time. But you know what happens is people go through life and they don't realize there's a barrier. They can be religious, they can read the Bible, they can sing hymns, they can talk God, but they don't have God. They don't have Him. They're lost. And they don't even know it. They think they're okay. They think, well, you talk about God, I talk about God. Same thing. Well, you claim to be going to heaven. Well, I maybe wouldn't go quite that far, but I think so. I think I've been pretty good. Think I'm going to heaven. They're lost. All kinds of things that people do because they're lost. They don't know God. You say to a person, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. And they say, who cares? Because they're lost. They live shacked up, or they do all kinds of things to their bodies, or they do all kinds of things with their lives, or they steal from people four times they so much more than they're supposed to take, and they steal from them, or they rape, or they murder, or they do other crimes. Why do they do this? It's because they're lost. They don't know any better. They don't have God. My brother and my sister, we need to remember this, that they are lost. The Bible says that they're dead. The Bible says that they're blind. The Bible says that they can't hear. They can't hear. They don't have God. The problem is being lost. The problem is sin. It's not stupidity. It's not that they're not Americans. It's not that they're not conservative. It's not that. It's their lost condition. It's the sin that's the issue. That's the issue. That is true of every person who has ever lived on this planet except Jesus. That's who we are. That's our humanity. We're lost. Which brings us to the second point, this idea of seeking. When Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, it's so important for us to understand this accurately. I would ask this question. Who is seeking? Who is doing the seeking? Who is the one that is searching? Who is the one that is going after? Who is the one that is proactive? Who is the one who is working toward helping lost people? Who is it? It's not the lost person. We have so many churches today across this land, primarily this land. They want to be what they call seeker-sensitive. There's a fundamental problem with the thinking. Because sinners don't seek God. And what happens is the working out of that being seeker-sensitive, what happens is, I was going to say we, I'll say they, I don't believe in this, but they change the way they do church. How long the church service is. How often the church service is, what expectations are that are put out for people who want to be members, what music they sing, how much money they expect, what they expect of people that might want to be baptized or members. It's all about how they want to appeal to people who are seekers, and they don't want to offend them. And so what is said in the pulpit is driven by the seekers. That's a foreign concept to the Bible. Completely foreign. The Bible indicates that Jesus is the one who's doing the seeking. The Bible indicates that when we are born, we're not just casual, ambivalent toward God. We are angry. We are defiant. We are rebellious. We don't want Him telling us what to do. We want to do our own thing. Why? Because we're lost. We don't know Him. We don't know anything about His love, His grace, His kindness, His goodness. We've never anticipated that or experienced that. Law, people who are lost in sin do not seek God. Why? Because when we sin, we hide. That's what we do. This is very understandable for you and me as believers. We understand that. Listen, when you were a child, did you ever, I don't know, maybe mom said, okay, you cannot have any more cookies. Did you go and eat more cookies and say, hey mom, got one over on you? Or did you hide the cookies and didn't realize there's crumbs on your face. You know, the child is sitting in school. Maybe they're, I don't know, however old, but they're in school and they're on a test, and they've got some way they want to cheat. I mean, they're looking over shoulders. They've got some little paper. Maybe they've written it on their hand. I don't know. They want to cheat. What are they doing? They're hiding it. They don't want to get caught. They don't want the teacher to see them. Think with me about this. Hiding. You go back to the Genesis chapter 3. I mean, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, first thing they did was they started trying to cover up their nakedness with leaves. We call them bikinis today, but they just, you know, they just cover themselves. Just the basic smallest, yeah, not a good idea. And then what did they do? The Bible says that they heard God and they hid themselves. And we all do that. Before we're saved and after we're saved. We're tempted to, as believers even, to kind of hide from God. Hey, the person that cheats on his taxes, this is a good thing to say, it's February. We got to do our taxes before April 15th. I guess that's still the, I don't know how, if that's the date this year. We got to do our taxes. Listen, if a person cheats on their taxes, they do not want to get audited. They want to hide. Person that runs around on his wife and has some kind of, they call it an affair. The Bible calls it adultery and immorality. But the person who does that, they don't want their spouse to find out about that. They want to hide. You're driving down the road at 85 miles an hour and the speed limit is 50. You don't want to see a police officer. Why do we hide? This is so important for us as God's children to understand. Why do we hide? It's because we're afraid of getting caught. We don't want to be caught. We know we've messed up. We don't want to be caught because we're lost. But you know what? You and I, as God's children, get to explain to our friends and neighbors that they just don't understand God, that they are lost, that it's not really anything that they chose. It's not like they at some point just decided, nah, not going to believe in God. Now, some of them may have, but they were born this way. They arrived on this planet lost. They did not have God. They had no personal relationship with God. There was a wall between them and God, and they don't know that. But God does not hide from sinners. You see, when we give the gospel to people, we need to make much of their sin and much of the only Savior. No one ever worries about being lost while they're lost if they don't know they're lost. There are so many churches today, they're trying to get people saved by giving them the truth about God and about heaven and about forgiveness and about praying prayers and about repentance and all these wonderful things, but they leave out the negative. And churches don't want preachers talking about hell. They don't want preachers talking about sin. They don't want preachers talking about adultery and fornication and pride. And they don't want preachers to get under their skin. That's where our hearts are. We're going to help people. We've got to get under their skin. We're not trying to be mean. We're trying to give the truth. Why? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. No person can get found in salvation without admitting that they're lost. No person needs forgiveness in their own thinking until they're ready to admit that they are sinning. No person can believe that they're on their way to hell until they are convinced in their heart of hearts, I deserve that and nothing less because I have defied God. Well, I've never actually said that. You don't have to say it. It just happens. It's who we are. It's our nature. You don't have to hate God. All you do is ignore him. All you do is you go out and you see the sun and the stars and you see your own body and you get sick and you don't die and you get better. It's like, whoa, man. What? I don't know who made this, but someone made all this stuff. And if he made us, we're going to talk to him someday. We need to help people understand that. Lovingly, kindly, graciously, mercifully, honestly, help people who are lost. They're lost. They just don't get it. But God doesn't hide from sinners. Jesus came looking for Zacchaeus. How is it that when he came to this tree, we don't know how many people were there, but we do know, thankfully, from the text, what is it, verse 7, that there are other people there. And when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, I'm going to go to your house today. There were others there. They're just called they. They were murmuring, saying, Jesus is going to go hang out with a sinner. Well, that's the only kind of people there are. But you know, my brother and sister, sometimes we can not like to be around sinners or be guests with sinners. I don't like to be around people that are lost, can't see, dead in sin, and living it out. Hey, gang, they don't know any better. They're lost. Somebody's got to talk to them. Love them. Gracious, you know. Somebody's got to do that. Jesus came looking for Zacchaeus. And the Bible says he looked up and saw him. You know why he looked up and saw him? Because he knew he was there. How do you know? Because he said, Zacchaeus? He knew his name. That's why Jesus walked down that road. Jesus knew all about him. And Jesus knows all about every single person you and I ever meet. And the reality is we don't know what's going on inside their hearts and inside their minds. And we don't know their background. And we don't know their hates. And we don't know their doubts. And we don't know their fears. And we don't know their arguments. And we don't know anything about that. We don't have to know anything about that. We have to know Jesus and talk to people about Jesus. And the fact that they've got to meet him. But in order to meet him, they have to face a wall. They have to face a valley between them and God. They have to face that there's an obstacle between them and God. And they cannot know God. And they are not seeking God until they recognize the problem is not God. It's not my environment. It's not my background. It's not my intelligence. It's not my parents. It's not my school. It's not my anything. The problem is inside of me. It's called sin. And until we face that, we stay lost. And we probably don't even realize that we're lost. It's sad. Sinners are intimidated by God. They hear about God and they hear about judgment. And they need to hear about judgment. But we need to go further than judgment and explain to them who God is. Let me try to illustrate this. This idea of why does God seek sinners? Why do you think the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost? Take the seek word. Why is God seeking sinners? Listen, the way a person thinks about this makes all the difference in the world. If you are driving your car down the road, okay, and all of a sudden you hear this wonderful sound, and in your rearview mirror you see this light flashing, and you think, oh dear Lord, help it not to be me. How many of you have ever thought that? Come on now, be honest. I want to make sure you're with me, okay? If you don't have a driver's license, you don't have to raise your hand. But if you do, unless you're Rick, where's Rick? God bless him. Don't ever get behind Rick. No, he likes to drive below the speed limit. He's proud of it. He'll tell you all about it. He gets people blowing the horn. He's told me many times, lights and all that sort of thing. It was probably me. No, anyway. But you're driving down the road. You pull over to the other lane. And you think, oh, please go by me. Please go by me. And pull. It sounds like I know what I'm talking about. It's been a long, long time. But it'll probably be this week. Anyway, you pull over to that lane. And he comes right behind you. And you think, he's got me. You get off the side of the road. And if you're in Virginia, he just gives you a ticket and you have to go to court or you just pay the fine or whatever. If you're not in here, he can take you to jail, unless there's reciprocity, of course. Especially if you're going, what did I say, 85 and 50? I don't know. Anyway, what is your reaction when you see the lights, when you hear the siren, when you know it's you? You'd like to hide, but he's got you. Listen. What if you're driving down the road? Let's say it's 85 miles an hour in a 50-mile zone, and you come to a corner, and you can't make it. You go off. You roll. I mean, you can make it as gory as you want. You know, you're trapped in the car. You're paralyzed. Maybe it's on fire. I mean, you make it. Let's not make it fire. Let's think that it's going to be on fire. And you can't get out of that car. Listen to me. No one knows where you are. You don't have a phone. And no one's going to see you on the road. And you think, I'm done. I don't think I'm getting out of here. And you hear a siren. And you see lights. And you think, you're going to help me. That's Jesus. That is why he seeks to save sinners, the lost. He's not coming to judge us. He's not coming to correct us. He's not coming to give us a ticket. He's not coming to arrest us. He's not coming to us to make us feel guilty. He's coming to save us. He died for sinners. We get to tell them that. We get to give it to them and tell them that. They're blind. They're lost. They don't get it. They might laugh at you. They might mock you. They might take your tract and throw it in the trash. They might say, I don't want any part of you. What are you, a holy roller? You say, yeah, I am. I don't care, whatever. Don't be intimidated by the lost. Don't be intimidated by the arrogant, loud-mouthed, brazen, bully sinner. Yeah, you're trying to give him good news. They may not listen. They may not want any part of it. You never know. When you say to them, I'm spitting all over the place, you never know what you may say. You don't even know about it, but God uses that thing to just put just something in their heart that they just can't get away from it. It might be in an hour. It might be in a decade. It might be in their deathbed, but the blessed, gracious, Holy Spirit of God keeps it there and reminds them and reminds them and reminds them. Why? Because he loves them and is seeking to save the lost. Oh, brother and sister, let us have faith in God and in God's gracious and good and wonderful plan. Jesus lived without ever sinning, and he died for sinners, and he rose from the dead because he loves them. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you what. That siren is for you. He's coming to help you. Don't justify yourself and sit in a pew and say, well, I feel a little guilty, but I remember when I was in Sunday school, or I remember when I got baptized, or I remember. No. It's not about I did this. I gave money. I go to church. I taught a class. I've been a deacon. I've been a pastor. I've been whatever. It's what Jesus did. That's where our hope must lie. Because I, every one of us as an I, brings nothing to the table but sin. And we do everything we can to hide it. We need to come and say, just as I am, without one plea. But that the only plea, the only way I come is because you invited me to come. And I come, just as I am. Hiding nothing, covering up nothing. I'm coming to Jesus. Why? It's not because you're seeking him. It's because he's seeking you. And to God be all the glory. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, will you stop hiding from God? If you do, who do you know? Who comes to your mind? They live in the same house as you, or it's a parent, or it's somebody you work with, or it's a neighbor, or whatever. Who? Just think about that person. And you'd have to admit, the best you know, they're lost. Talk to them about Jesus. That's what missions is all about. We are not authentic if we think that just praying for missionaries and giving money to missionaries is missions. No. On the back wall above the map, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe we should change that without doing damage to Scripture and change one letter on it and say, go we into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can do that. We can do that.